Father, thank you for the encouragement, for the promise that you'll give us the strength that we need. You'll give us whatever we need when we need it to accomplish what you've called us to do. Lord, we know we live in a midst of a dark and a dying world. We know that creation groans because of the fall. And yet, Lord, we have hope. We don't grieve as those who have no hope because our hope is in you. We've just celebrated the anniversary of your birth. God incarnate. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, we just celebrated that gift. And Father, that gift you gave to us in the person of your Son is the gift of everlasting, the gift of eternal, the gift of abundant life. Because without you there is no life, there is no joy, there is no peace. So this morning, Father, we pray that we will be still and know that you're God. That we will listen to the small voice of your Spirit as you tap on our shoulder to lead us in the path that we should be going. Lord, if we're honest, we desire that 2019 be better than 2018. That the times in 2018 where we failed you, that we won't make that same mistake again in 2019. That where we didn't follow you close enough in 2018, we will stick to you in 2019. That where we had opportunity to serve and we failed to do it in 2018, that we'll step up and serve you in 2019. Well, we don't know what 2019 holds, but we know if we're holding on to you, it doesn't matter what it holds. So, Father, open our hearts and our minds to the leading of your Holy Spirit as we open your word this morning. I pray you forgive me of my sins. Father, help me to be your instrument here. And we ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Final exam. Those words used to strike terror into young people. Final exams coming up. And sometimes final exams would be after the holidays. I would think, man, they expect me to study during the holidays? Well, you got an exam coming up. Well, you know, the truth is, you don't know when your final exam's going to come, do you? Not really. 35-year-old pastor of Grandview Pines, I'm sure had plans. I'm sure his sermon was already prepared for today. But he will never deliver it. Now, I don't know why God called him home. The Scripture tells us we always need to be ready because even as close as we are to 2019, there's no guarantee you're going to make it to 2019. As I shared with the kids this morning, the most important decision, the most important test you will ever face is what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Because if you have not done something with Him, if you have not asked Him to forgive you of your sins and to be your Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter what else you did, does it? It doesn't matter how much money you've accumulated, how far you climbed the corporate ladder of success, how many friends you've got. Nothing. None of that matters. Because if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. Amen? Scripture says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. That's as plain as it gets. We're going to talk about the final analysis today. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 2, first of all, says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Man, there's a whole sermon just in that one sentence right there. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in. Now, how can you be in Christ Jesus? The only way you can be in Christ Jesus is if you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins and be your Savior, be your Lord. Then you are in Christ Jesus. You are hidden in Christ. Your sins are covered by His blood. Whatever kind of analogy or symbolism you want to use, you are in relationship. You are in Him. And only in Him do we have life, right? To those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, that's the Spirit with a capital S, the Spirit of God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Because if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the law of sin and death reigns in your body. Okay? Let's keep going. Near the end of that same chapter, there's a verse that's probably familiar to you, but oftentimes misquoted. It says, "And we know that all things work together." Now, unfortunately, a lot of people stop right there. They say everything works for the good. That's not what this verse says. Look at this verse. "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." It does not say, nor does it mean, that everything works out to good for everybody. That is not what it says. God's never said that. Because if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it will not be good. It will not work out for the good. It will only get worse. Can you imagine an eternity separated from God in a real place called hell? No, I can't. As great as heaven will be, as wonderful as the glories and the majesty and the joys of heaven will be, hell will be that much worse for eternity. How long is that? Forever. It doesn't end. Our finite minds cannot grasp a hold to that concept. So we need to consider all this as we're considering the final analysis of our life in 2018. So the end of the year. Now, end of the year, what do you think about? Don't say taxes, okay? End of the year, what do you think about? But Edith knows what I'm talking about. Taxes. Yeah, we think about taxes. But end of the year is a time for reflection. We reflect back on the good and the bad of 2018. You know, when we sat here back in January of 2018, we had plans. You had plans. We had things we expected. Did they happen? Probably not as you expected. Almost 100% sure they didn't happen as you expected. Were there good things in 2018? Yeah, sure. Were there bad things in 2018? Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. So we reflect back. And as you reflect back, it makes us, I hope, be a little introspective. That means we don't just look back over the year, but we look inside at our own selves and we evaluate. Well, did I make any New Year's resolutions I didn't keep? Oh, yeah, probably so. How long did it take you to break them? About 7 days, maybe, you know? So, I had a friend of mine said he was going to go into business, that he had a surefire business plan. I said, "Really? What's that?" He said he was going to buy a building and he was going to open a gymnasium for those people who made New Year's resolutions that they were going to eat right and exercise. Then he said, "In 90 days, I'm changing it to a restaurant." He said, "A surefire business plan." Because we don't tend to keep our New Year's resolutions, do we? But we need to be introspective and look in our own life. And we need to do more than that. We need to ask God to illuminate the corners and the dark spots of our life that sometimes we want to just look over and have Him to reveal the real me. We need to examine our lives and what we're doing and what the results of that life has been. Is the world better because I have been in it for this past year? Or is it worse? Do the people I care about, or is their life better because I've been around? Or is it worse because I've been around? Then we need to think about plans and actions for the next year. So those things go on in our mind as we get approach the end of the year. First, the first thing, though, that in the final analysis that I think we need to understand when we analyze our life, when we analyze life in general, when we analyze life through the lens and the filter of God's Word, is the first thing we need to understand, that we need to realize, that we need to make sure we check, is that I need God. Not just that I want God, not just that it's a good thing to do, but I need God. Now, I need God is not like I need to go to Walmart, okay? Sometimes we say, I need to go to Walmart. No, you don't need to go to Walmart. But I need God. I need God like I need oxygen. I need God like I need water. You know what I'm saying? I need God like I need life. Because without Him, there is no life. I need God because I am not where I need to be. Are you? I'm not where I need to be. Because I need to realize, if I didn't already know it, that I'm a sinner. Scripture says, how many of us have sinned? How many? Who does that leave out? Nobody. Scripture has said, all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. Some people say, well, I'm better than all those folks that go, well, maybe you are better. But that's not good enough. Because we are all sinners. I need God because I am a sinner and I cannot get there without Him. I cannot get to heaven without Him. I cannot get through the next day without Him. I need God because I am not doing what I should do. Paul said, wretched man that I am, he said, I know what I want to do, but I don't do it. He said, I know what I shouldn't do, but I do that. Can we identify with Paul? Sure we can. Sure we can. And then Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. Because we're all in that same boat, except for Jesus Christ. I need God. Well, if you need something, you better get it. Amen? You better get it. You need some water, you need to get it. You need some air, you need to get it. You need Jesus, you need to get Him. Because He is there. He's willing and able, and He's knocking on the door. What are you waiting for? I'm amazed sometimes hearing people say, you know, when you start talking about Jesus Christ and the relationship, and they say, well, and they'll say something like this, I know I need to do that, and I plan on doing that. Well, what's wrong with right now? What about right now? Why wait? Why wait? If somebody came up to you and said, I've got the keys to a brand new whatever, put your own thing there. I got the keys to a brand new whatever I got for you. Are you going to tell them, well, just wait till next week and I'll come by and get it? You're going to probably slap it out of their hand. Why are you going to wait? And why are you going to wait for Jesus? Now, today, Scripture says, today, not tomorrow, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. I got off work Friday. I think it was Friday. Headed back to the house. There were two calls within 30 minutes in the Billingsley area. One traffic accident and one medical call. Both of them were fatalities. Both of them. Don't wait. Do not wait. I need God because God is still in control. I hate to tell you, but you're not in control. Sometimes we think, seriously, we may not say that, but sometimes we live like we think we're in control, don't we? But we are not in control. I'm going to tell you what you've got control over. I'll tell you what you got control over. What are you going to do with Jesus? That's what you've got control over. You don't have a control over the next breath, the next heartbeat. Now, I bet if I took a poll, everybody in here has got a plan about something you're going to do tomorrow. And that's okay to have plans, as long as you realize God's in control. because your plan could change just like that. I need God because in Him is life. In Him is light. In Him is joy. In Him is peace. All those things that I can't buy, that I can't get, that I can't manufacture, He is. And He has given it to me. I need God. Why did Jesus come? For His own benefit? No. Jesus came for our good. Jesus came because we desperately needed Him. Because without Him, there's nothing. Nothing. I honestly cannot even begin to tell you how someone who is an atheist really can function. I really don't fully understand how they can. Because if there is no God, there's nothing. You're here for a little bit and poof, you're gone. And it's over. That's it. There's nothing else. Solomon in Ecclesiastes put it this way. He said, "Vanity of vanities. It's all vanity. It's chasing after the wind." If you do not know Jesus Christ, if you do not have Jesus Christ, nothing else matters. I need God in the final analysis. I need God. Secondly, though, in the final analysis, God loves, and I put in parentheses, wants me. And that is a great truth right there. I talked before about the worst thing in elementary school that can happen is you don't get chosen, or you get chosen last for a team. Because you know if you're the last one left, nobody wanted you on their team. But Jesus Christ chose you. He picked you. Scripture says when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, Jesus chose you. When He died on the cross, you were on His mind. Not just the world in general, but you specifically. Of all the people in the world, God created you and chose you. That ought to be worth an amen. God loves you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you believe in Him, you will have everlasting life." He has made a way, and He's calling you. He's calling you. Nowadays, we have our smartphones on our person almost all day long. And it's almost sacrilege not to answer your phone. Right? I mean, that's got to answer the phone. Why you got to answer it? Because it's ringing. You got to answer the phone. Well, God's calling you. But it seems like too often we hit ignore. We hit ignore. Thinking He's going to call back. He's not going to always call back. Do you hear me? There will be a time when He will stop calling. God loves you and He wants you in relationship with Him. He has done everything to get that relationship. But you got to make a choice. I can either make my own plan or I can seek His plan. Because there's only going to be one controlling your life. Only one Lord of your life. If Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, then He's not really Lord at all in your life. Because that means you're sitting on the throne. So you can make your own plan and follow your own plan, or you can follow His plan. Now I'm going to tell you where your plan leads, okay? Not because I know personally, but because I know based on Scripture that man's plans lead to destruction. He says, "Broad is the way, wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many there are that go in there. An interstate, in other words. He says, narrow is the way, narrow, winding is the path that leads to life everlasting. He says, you've got to follow me to get there. God loves you, and he wants you in a relationship with him, but he's not going to make you do it. If this is the only thing you hear today, hear this. He will not always be there. There is an end. Now, I don't know where it's at. I don't know how long it is. But Scripture is plain that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. He's knocking today, but that does not mean he will do that tomorrow. That's why it is so imperative that we respond to him today. Because you have no guarantee of tomorrow. We need to hear him, that still small voice, and respond today. We were talking earlier in life groups that we live in a noisy world. A noisy world. And sometimes I think, why is it so noisy? Why is it so busy? And the only answer is because Satan is trying to drown out the still small voice of God. Because you can't hear the still small voice of God if you're listening to the din and confusion of the world around you. That's why he says, be still. Be still and know that I'm God. Shut out the other stuff and listen to him. I shared before with you guys about a young teenager that I was counseling one time, and she had some decisions to make. And every time I saw her, she had on headphones or she was listening to something. I'm like, I said, be still, stop. And she didn't really want to, because she knew if she got still and listened, she was going to hear what God had to say, because she didn't want to really hear what he had to say. Finally, she did, and she listened to it. But sometimes we run from God. For years, we run from God and try to drown out his voice, thinking, I got it all figured out. One of these days, I will. And then we realize, too late sometimes, that I've wasted my life chasing after my own plan, listening to somebody else's idea rather than listening to the Word of God. And you're not going to get those years back. You're not going to get them back. Don't reach the end of your life and regret that you didn't respond to him 20, 30, 40 years ago. Can you imagine what he could do in your life if you'd given your life to him sooner? Think about that. Think about that, because we have limited time. In the final analysis, what's going to matter? Not how much money you made, not how high you climbed the corporate ladder, not the knowledge you have accumulated or amassed, but what you did with Christ. That's what's going to matter. Thirdly, in the final analysis, actions are required. They're not optional. They're required. Faith means getting out of the boat. We talk about faith all we want to, but Peter demonstrated the faith when he stepped out of the boat. Sometimes we got to get out of the boat. Well, it's storming outside. It's wet outside. It's raining outside. But Jesus called you to step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. Doesn't make sense. Don't matter. Jesus says, step out of the boat. You've got to step out of the boat. Trust him. You see, Peter trusted Jesus, and he walked on the water. Now, we know he didn't walk a long time, because he started looking at the storm, didn't he? And he started sinking. But as long as he was looking at Jesus and trusting Jesus, bless his heart, Peter walked on the water. The only one that did, besides Jesus. Because he got out of the boat. What's God calling you to do in 2019? Well, I can't do that. No, you can't. But he can. You got to have faith. You got to trust him. You got to trust him. Actions are required. You got to serve. What do you mean I got to serve? Jesus said we're called to serve him. He's not here to serve us. We're here to serve him. Is he God? Or am I God? Who am I serving? Am I serving self or am I serving him? Jesus said, those that are saved are not those that call him Lord, Lord. Hear me now. Jesus said, those that call him Lord, Lord are not the ones that are saved, but those that do the will of the Father. And you see, the problem is we can talk a good game. We can say all kinds of stuff. Talk is cheap. Results. That's why James said, don't tell me you have faith. I want to see it. I want to see it. James is not saying that you're saved by works. James is saying, if you got real faith, I'll see the evidence of it. Because real faith is going to be manifested in actual works. There's no such thing as a secret agent Christian. If you're a Christian, listen to me now. If you are a Christian and nobody knows it, then you're not a Christian. If nobody knows you're a Christian, then you're not a Christian. Because if you truly are a Christian, your life's going to change. You're going to be different than you once were. You're going to speak differently. You're going to act differently. You're going to be in different places, be with different people. Your priorities and judgments are going to change. You are not going to be who you were because Scripture says, I've made a new creature out of you. If you're just like you were before you met Christ, then you never met Christ. Actions are required. He calls us to come to Him to serve Him. Because He wants to be our Lord. It means He's due our worship. He's due our service. He's due our everything. Here's your compass point. Thank God for 2018 and for His faithfulness and for an opportunity to be all that He's calling you to be in 2019. You are still here, so He still has a plan for you. He still has a purpose for you. And it's not too late to surrender to Him and let Him work His will and His plan for you in 2019 or however much longer we have. Because He could come tomorrow. He could come tomorrow. And if He comes tomorrow, I hope He finds us all doing His will today. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. That's what we want to hear, right? 2018's about done. Whatever you made on 2018, whatever your final score is for 2018, it's in the books just about. But the good news is 2019's a blank slate. It's a blank slate. What are you going to do with Him? In the final analysis, when God looks at you and says, what have you done with my son? I hope you can say, and I hope you will say, I've made Him my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Father, thank You for all that You have given us, that You have withheld nothing good. You've given us Your all. And Father, these next few moments, as we contemplate our life in 2018 and plans for 2019, help us to make a commitment, Lord, a surrender to You right now, that You will be our Savior and You will be our Lord, and that we will serve You faithfully. That 2019 won't be like 2018. That we'll do what You're calling us to do individually and corporately as Your church. Father, forgive us for our failures. Thank You, Father, for Your faithfulness. Help us to respond to You now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.